to the Illumination Cinema Movie Podcast.
We're going.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Oh, it's happening.
It is?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I'm Gina.
I'm Tyler.
And I'm Roy.
Okay. So this is the first part of our podcast based on the movies referenced in Rocky Horror Picture Show's song, Science Fiction Double Feature Picture Show. And the first one is Dr. X. We're going in chronological order. This was made in 1932. Yeah, it's about murders happening that are cannibalistic murders. People being strangled to death.
And then eaten.
And eaten.
Just little pieces of them eaten though.
Just
they're samples.
They're deltoids.
Deltoids.
Yeah.
The most which ties
which ties back into Rocky Horror because they
yeah
one of the songs
yeah there is a little light cannibalism of course mm-hmm. in Rocky Horror.
Now it's been a little over 10 years since I've seen Rocky Horror Picture Show. I am no virgin.
Well, that's good.
I definitely like you guys pitched this little mini series idea last year to do this year. And so I'm like, hey man, whatever, I'm easy. And so I'm along for the ride. I'm along for the ride, at least this time.
Tyler's putting up with our very, very narrow.
It's called a interest. Niche.
It's a niche. It's a niche. That's it.
I was very happy. I mean, like there's certainly because I had to look up what movies were on the listed in the song because obviously I don't. Again, over 10 years, mm-hmm. so. I saw King Kong on there. I'm like, oh, shit, I'll talk about King Kong.
I was looking at the list just a minute ago to refresh myself, and I've seen like half of the movies, which is tells you why we're interested in this. Mm. I didn't know I had seen this until we started watching it, and I realized that I've definitely seen it before, but only chunks on Svengoolie.
The black and white version, too.
The black and white version, which we started looking up. We watched the Technicolor version, mm-hmm. and it was the first feature-length horror film shot all in Technicolor. Kind of a two... I think they called it like a two-color Technicolor. Because yeah. I noticed it was mostly green and red.
Yeah, skin tones are in there. Yeah. So that kind of...
Yeah, because
the
they...
red side.
Yeah, they yeah. create brown.
Right.
The green and red obviously create brown. And... Yeah, because that's what I noticed. The first thing I noticed was it's very green.
And it's gorgeous.
Yeah, I love it.
Everybody's wearing green. Mm-hmm. Like, even though that, like, I doubt, like, the reporter's suit in the middle of this is shown to be, like, a pretty bright green. And I'm like, I doubt it.
Yeah. Well, and then in some angles, it's very brown. Like, yeah. it's very brown green.
It depends how the light catches it sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I wonder what color the costumes really were, because as we know, on old film, the color doesn't quite look
yeah.
right.
And
yeah.
who knows, you know, because this was restored.
Yeah.
So who knows exactly what everything looked like originally.
Oh, yeah, because I think I read that they thought that the Technicolor version of this was lost forever, but it was found in a movie executive's private collection. The studio filmed it in both Technicolor and black and white at the same time, even though that was against the rules. And the camera angles are slightly different in some scenes because they were literally filming it at the same time. So if you watch the black and white version,
it'll be slightly off.
Slightly different, which I think is also partially why I was like, I'm not quite sure if I've seen this. The police come to a Dr. Xavier.
Or X.
Well, they pronounce it Xavier.
Xavier.
And he has a medical college, and there are murders happening every full moon, and they all happen right by his medical college. So they think, I don't know.
There might be something.
There might be some connection.
Worth looking at.
We're
following up.
We're just dumb cops. You know what? We'll just let him solve the mystery.
Because the cops are like, here's the body. Like, what do you think happened?
And then they go to the medical college and was like, we think it's one of you all weird doctors with backstories that are involve cannibalism at some point.
Hey, I don't know why you would suspect the professor of cannibalism.
which
as he is called.
We all need a business cards made of with our name.
Yes, because there's a professor of cannibalism, and there's a guy who does brain experiments of some sort.
Which also ties into the murder because they stab some
very specific.
Oh yeah, that's brain, right, because they stab him in the brain and strangle him. And then there's a moon doctor, of course, is what I'm calling him. And he, along with one of the other doctors, who I wasn't clear what he was doing.
He was just like his buddy, his partner in the moon experiments.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
The wheelchair doctor.
Yeah. Well, they both survived. Monocle
doctor and wheelchair doctor are
partners.
Yeah.
Dr. Haynes was the second one, and he looked like in modern times, he'd probably be doing like videos where he poses with like a trilby and a katana.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, 100%.
Yes.
But they both, one time there was a shipwreck and they were at sea for 24 days and there was a third guy with them, but...
Something happened.
He died. He died and they threw him overboard. They definitely didn't eat him.
Even though they made a big point about they were out of provisions.
They were out of provisions. But you know, the guys say, hey, that guy just died. We just got rid of him.
He's not around no more.
Nope. And I did write in my notes here, I was like, there is exactly one woman, but turns out there were two. I was wrong.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Now, one of those women...
Feel stupid now.
I do feel really stupid. Now, one of the women, though, his daughter, Dr. X's daughter, I don't remember what her first name was.
It's Fay Wray.
Yeah. Oh, Joanna. It was Joanna Xavier.
Yeah. I love that they never call him Dr. X at any point in this movie.
I think a couple times they do. Like, there's a...
They did?
They shorten it a couple times to X.
Why
but it
would
was like
you?
It was like, very conversational. It wasn't, like... I think it was the sort of main character of the film.
The,
he was like this fucking goofy reporter guy.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Lee.
Yeah. Yeah, they throw that in at the very end. Photo finish, getting the name in there. Maybe they probably brought it up earlier and we just didn't catch it or something. But like, yeah, no, overall, the movie itself was goofier than I thought it would be.
Yes. It's a very weird toned, but it's interesting because it does kind of like foreshadow a lot of stuff that gets made now. Because it's a little bit like kind of a child's scary movie with a goofy lead guy.
Yeah.
Because, like, obviously bad things are happening.
You mean like The Ghost of Mr. Chicken?
Yeah, a little bit like The Ghost of Mr. Chicken, you know, like a haunted mansion type movie, you know.
We did call this guy Don Knotts many times.
Yeah, he's an unconventional lead for, like, what he's supposed to be is, like, a hard-boiled reporter on... the hunt of the killer.
Yeah, he's got some slapstick, you know.
A hand buzzer for
oh,
no
yeah.
reason.
Oh, yeah, he does have a hand buzzer.
And does a lot of a lot of hat-based humor.
He keeps spitting into his hat.
Yeah.
He's spitting his hat.
Several times.
But he's on the case. He wants to find out what they're doing and why they're talking to this doctor.
And he also wants to bone Fay Wray.
Well, obviously. That's secondary.
I think it becomes primary for a while there because he just hangs out at the house for.
Yeah, he is like sleeping over at the house.
That's true.
Because they all go out.
Fay Wray.
So
and you get the scoop.
Because Dr. X takes all of the doctors to a haunted mansion, basically on a cliff.
Yeah.
I just thought it was his house.
Well, I mean, it could be his house, but it literally looked, you know.
Yeah.
I mean,
it is a different location than
different
the first one.
Okay,
yeah.
The cops gave him 48 hours to figure it out himself before
to save
they blow
life.
The... I don't know.
To
he
save,
wants to save the college.
Save the reputation of his college, which I guess worked at some point in history.
Sure.
You know what? We don't want to do any work. So, yeah, he's just in his house and things go wrong and... people start dying, but
yeah,
not as many as you expect.
Well, because they're doing an experiment to... Dr. X thinks if he shows them, like, things to remind them of the murder, that he has invented a machine that will bubble up, like, the
but it looks like
will bubble up.
Like, they attacked, like, electrodes to the wrist, but somehow there's, like, blood that looks like it's getting sucked out of him, but
it's
not.
Red liquid... I don't know. And whoever's bursts, he did it. He's the murderer.
Yeah, it's basically like that carnival game where you hit the hammer on the thing, and
or were you just filling the clown's mouth up with water?
Yeah. And but he has this elaborate setup with wax figures of all the murder victims.
He got those made.
Detailed wax figures.
Detailed wax figures. And this is like the day after. Like, this is 48, within the 40...
Of the sixth murder.
Yeah. This guy fucking did it, man.
To be fair, all those people had been murdered months previous.
Yeah, but he
was those lying one. Around.
I don't know why he had a maid. He would have had to have a maid.
Yeah. He would have had to know a wax figure guy.
So, like, everyone's real suspicious. Except, we do find out early on that the professor of cannibalism only has one hand.
That's right. So he couldn't have done it.
He couldn't have done it because he only has one hand. They were strangled with two hands.
Yeah.
And, you know, so this experiment happens. The lights go out. And then the moon doctor is dead. Somebody kills the moon doctor.
Yep.
The guy with the monocle. And who did it? I don't know. The reporter's hiding in a closet with a lot of skeletons, which I think is a fun bit.
Yeah, then he gets gassed in the same room.
He does. Who gassed him?
I assume it's the villain of the final.
Oh, the cannibal doctor. Okay.
This movie is an hour and 16 minutes.
So all this has happened.
It all happens pretty quick, but at the same time, it moves kind of slow, and a lot of these
kind of a slow burn.
Should we just say what? And I don't even remember what happened. The reporter tries to bone Faye Ray for a while.
Yeah. They go to the beach for a little scene for that doesn't go anywhere. They talk about breakfast a lot.
Yeah.
A minute. Because that's a reference, guys. He's hinting at something that he can't say.
This movie was pre-Hays Code, so it is a little saucier than like what you'd expect a movie from the 30s to be, I think.
I think that's a misconception people have, though, about a lot of old movies, is that a lot of them are much saucier than you would think they are.
I think anyone thinks probably anything like pre-70s is really tame. And
it's just not true at all. Yeah. And I feel like it's sad because a lot of people...
There's just a window of time, in mostly American cinema. Yeah.
Right. And it's sad because I think people miss out on a lot of really cool old movies by thinking they're boring right off the bat.
Yeah.
You like this movie, you had to stick with it for a while. There was enough fun stuff sprinkled in that you will laugh at, whether it was intentional or a little bit unintentional, that I had a good time with throughout the whole thing, because there was all of a sudden there'd be something completely ridiculous treated as if it's like a super normal thing to happen.
This is real science.
This is real science.
Yep. Very state of the art.
Like, the reporter Lee, not quite as funny as he he and everyone else were thinking. Interestingly enough, we were talking about this before. It is directed by the director of Casablanca.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, I can't believe I forgot to mention the butler of Dr. X that looks like an actual embalmed corpse.
Yeah,
he's kind of a red herring there.
Yeah, he's a red herring that they never actually like. Make a red
He's
herring.
He's just a horrible asshole who teases the maid, who is the other woman.
Yeah.
The other woman is a maid.
And she is hard to understand, and...
I did not understand.
There were like a handful of lines where you were like, what the fuck did she just say?
They had to repeat it for me. It
and
was
she
great.
Just, like, acts scared the entire time.
Yeah.
And then she... Wait. So she was in bed. She's like, I can't do this. I can't take the stress. And she drinks some gin, and she's just never... Is that the end for her?
She passed out and missed all the...
Because
the movie's done by the time...
Movie's done with her.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they're going to do the experiment again. Because he figured it out. He knows. He's going to be able to tell who the murderer is. So he handcuffs everybody to their chairs, including himself, because he's not exempting himself.
Except for the one person in the room that's the murderer.
Well, yeah, okay.
Because he's only got one hand.
It was gonna be a thing. So the one-handed guy straps them all in, and the experiment starts, and he goes in the back and smears synthetic flesh all over himself, and pulls out this synthetic flesh hand, which
automatically connects to his stump.
Yeah.
And becomes a living hand.
After
that he can move.
After he, like, electrocutes it for a minute.
He
does charge it up.
He figured it out, guys. Well, so he's a weird-faced monster.
Which you did see briefly at the beginning of the movie, or, like, in the middle?
He was following the reporter around and kind of, like, sneaking up behind him, but then the reporter would bend down to get something. And
Scooby-Dooing
like,
him.
Yeah, he'd be like, ugh, you know.
There was enough nothing in the middle of the movie that I did forget that happened at the beginning.
Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah. Because I was like, oh, yeah, there was like a monster man at one point. Yeah. I forgot about that.
Oh, yeah, the monster guy.
So, and like when he's putting on his synthetic skin, it looks like he's just putting mud on his face.
It's very like clay.
And he like puts it over his real hair and then puts on a little wig over the makeup.
Not a good wig.
You don't actually see him putting the wig on.
But he has to.
Yeah, it's, well, or we're supposed to think that it just.
No, they showed it like covering his entire hair.
I know, I'm just saying, but they didn't show him putting a wig on, so it just appeared.
Yeah.
Maybe the flesh grew a horrible toupee.
Yeah.
You don't know.
That didn't cover the top of his, like, the crown. Bald.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's the synthetic flesh is not perfect. It's still in the experimental stages.
That's why he's got to kill all the people.
Because he's getting the flesh and using it
within a synthetic, which
to experiment to create organs and limbs.
Yeah.
Which in theory is a great...
Just take the wheelchair doctor's leg skin.
Oh, like... yeah, because you find out he's faking it. Because he at one point is like, he gets scared and falls out of his chair and walks around. But, so it does turn out to be the one-handed professor of cannibalism. And
who would have thunk it?
Can't be him. Then
there's a big fight scene with the reporter, which... had some good stuff because it was clearly not the reporter actor. It was like, it had a very like movie serial fight at the end where they're just like throwing each other.
Yeah, struggle.
And then like every now and then they'll just leap at somebody and just.
Yeah, because Fay Wray is pretending to be one of the murder victims. They're going to reenact it again. And he kills the corpse butler and takes his place.
Yeah.
And so he comes at her and kind of places his hand on her throat, and she cannot move.
Just stays there.
She just lays there. She's accepted her fate.
Yeah. He only has one hand on her.
To be fair, it's a really big, weird, gross-looking hand.
Yeah, but it doesn't even look like it's pressing that hard.
Well, yeah. I mean, she's not moving because she doesn't want to fucking touch it.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's... She's just laying there, guys.
This guy's got fake skin made out of real people's skin. I'm sure he stinks. Like, he probably doesn't want much to do with it.
I think I said to Tyler, because Tyler thought maybe she was chained down. And I was like, the only chains she has are the chains of the patriarchy.
Listen, if these are the fucking chains of patriarchy, then we're going to have nothing to complain about because she's choosing to stay there.
She's made
they're
the choice.
They're invisible, Tyler. They're invisible chains.
You know what? I think I'm a misogynist now.
This movie.
This is the prime example.
Oh, no, guys. I'm so sorry.
This movie made me a misogynist. And then
luckily there was a man there.
Good. Don Knotts jumps out, leaps out, and fights a monster.
Maybe he's not the alpha male of the cast, but he's the only man available to get the job done.
Because everyone else is literally chained or dead.
And he, like I said, he's a weak link. I think the cast is pretty good. Lionel Atwell, I always love him. This is like one of his first things. You know, he pops up in most of the Universal Monster movies. Yeah. And Fay Wray's great. Is doing a Fay Wray, because she's basically playing the same thing as she does in King Kong.
Yeah, it really is.
And the rest of them are like great, weird-looking character actor guys.
And
they got perfect casting for all the doctors, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I think we need to mention that the monster is defeated because Don Knotts sets him on fire and throws him out the window.
That was fucking metal, dude. I liked that.
Yeah.
It was nice. It was a nice
Luckily the house was on a cliff, so he had a nice fall.
A whole fall down the whole cliff, mm-hmm. Not just out onto the lawn.
Almost fell into the river of Ecto-Cooler.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because a lot of stuff looked so green.
Yeah, a lot of stuff was slightly off.
I want to make a movie that looks like this.
I kind of do, too.
Yeah, that's next directorial project for
Death
me.
And Lavender 2.
I'm in. Yeah, Death and Lavender 2. Green.
We could have made, I mean, this Death takes place green. Before Death and Lavender, the year-wise, so.
Yep. Oh, that's true.
It's an interesting little movie. It's very old-fashioned when it comes to, like, being a horror film. It's very much that line they did in the 30s of, it's a mystery movie, but then also horror elements sneak in. I mean, having the monster was great, because a lot of those don't actually have a monster or any, like,
the,
really...
It was a good monster.
The like, monster is the men all along.
Yeah. Or it's, yeah.
It's our desires.
Or just literally the Scooby-Doo, and then you rip the mask off.
Yeah.
And it's just, an old dude.
Maybe the monster was how horny all of these fucking virgin scientists were.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I think he says, I had to get flesh to learn from flesh. He says flesh like 50 times. Is very creepy. But I think maybe final thoughts?
I had to lay down with a bunch of stiffs. Talk to a bunch of goofy guys. I liked it a lot. I'll give it 8 Jamies. It dipped a little bit in the second act, but otherwise I think it was pretty fun.
I'm going to give it 7 Jamies. I think it's almost pretty consistently entertaining. There's just some moments that it could have been an hour instead of an hour and 16.
Agreed.
And
I like that you're wanting it to be shorter.
Well, I think an hour is perfectly good for a lot of these movies. Like, a lot of movies can be an hour long.
Fair enough.
The production design was awesome. The spooky house looks great. The modern lab looked really cool. Mm-hmm. And it could have used a stronger lead actor. Because obviously Lee gets blown off the screen in comparison to Lionel Atwell.
In comparison to any of his co-stars.
Yeah.
Hey, didn't you say he looked like David Caruso? Right?
He doesn't look a little bit like David Caruso, but he does not take off sunglasses dramatically, so he...
Minus.
And the Who didn't exist yet.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, man. So really just wrecked the whole thing. Mm-hmm. No wonder. Didn't work out. I think I'll give it 7.5. I'm kind of in the middle. Like, I love it. I thought it was a lot of fun. I like the weird clay mushy face. Synthetic flesh. And I think Faye Ray is great. I wish, it's always so weird for me to watch these kinds of movies, because even if I like them, there's always this piece of me that's like, man, I really wish there was a woman that wasn't pathetic
in
this.
A good female character.
A good female character. A single one.
Yeah.
But, I guess as long as they're there and they look pretty, I don't know. I always feel weird about that. It feels like a very masculine gaze for me, and that's the only way I can enjoy some of these.
Yeah.
But, like,
there's a lens that you have to watch everything through.
Well,
and
you want to be happy with it at all.
Yeah,
it's weird because, there was only, like, really good female parts in other genres at the time.
Yeah.
Like, they never crossed over into, like, horror.
It took a minute, I feel like, for women's parts in horror to become what we think of today.
I wonder if they just thought the audience would be majoritively male.
I think in the 30s they just weren't really concerned.
Well, yeah.
I mean, I'm sure that was also...
I think you're right.
I think maybe there was, like, a lean in terms of, like, if other genres were getting better treatment, this would be the reason.
Yeah, because obviously, like, I know how they thought about it. There was women's pictures and men's pictures, because, like, the women's picture would be a drama about a woman.
Okay,
Betty
guess
Davis.
With some exception. Yeah, okay. Fair enough.
And they don't, like I said, those kind of stories and characters aren't in horror films at the time. Or,
For a very long time.
Right. Was it in the early 30s? I get kind of... Sometimes it's hard to, like, wrap my head around who was making what at the same time, because there was such vastly different...
Yeah.
Things look so vastly different, even if they were made in the same...
This was,
this is in color.
Yeah, and this one's, I think, was at least mid... I can't...
This is 1932.
Yeah, so this looks like the 20s.
Right.
You know. Yeah, I don't think. Obviously, the women didn't get treated well in horror, you know.
Now, of course.
90s? Like,
yeah.
Like, you had the Stray one in the
80s? Yeah, you had Night of the Comet or something.
Yeah. Right.
And then, yeah, you have to reach into the 90s to get Jodie Foster. Silence of the Lambs. Like,
Neve Campbell and Scream. Yeah. Like,
I still think Jamie Lee Curtis and Halloween is a pretty good female character.
The best of, yeah.
Really, you have to get up to Adrienne Barbeau.
Yes. Man. Who is my fucking idol, if you don't know that about me. I love Adrienne Barbeau. Anyway, the other film we watched is a film that I feel like probably more people have seen, and certainly everyone has heard of, which is King Kong from 1933.
King Kung Fu.
King Kung Fu.
Wrong.
Oh.
Wrong one. Now.
They're similar. They're
have seen it. Yeah. Yeah. They're a little similar.
One is an homage.
One is an homage and a guy in a gorilla suit. And this one technically is also partially a guy in a gorilla suit.
No, it's not.
Is it not?
It's all stop motion.
And then there's big, like,
there's a big hand that comes.
Okay. And I think the big, close ups of the face that are
like a big puppet. Yeah.
Okay.
But it's not a person.
Okay, well, fine. Fair enough. It's a story about he's a filmmaker.
Yeah.
Would you call him? An adventurer. There was a gentleman adventurer.
There were several, like, filmmaker guys at the time who were, like, great white hunter types who would also go film, and then you would have one of them's name was Frank Buck and stuff like that, and they would go film nature programs basically, and as a precursor to a National Geographic or stuff. Also, they would shoot and kill a whole bunch of stuff.
Yep.
Nah, what do you mean?
There was literally
a
part in here where the reason he shoots his own movies is because he had a cameraman recording a rhino stampede.
Right. Yeah.
And he's like, I don't know why he stopped recording. I had a rifle pointed right at it. I'm like, well, how are you going to shoot the fucking rhino if you're filming it?
Two hands.
He's like,
God gave man two hands.
It's true. It's true. What kind of man are you if you cannot simultaneously film a rhino charging and kill it?
You're right.
So we'll think about that for a minute.
So yeah, Carl Denham is his name.
Yes.
Carl Denham. I never know anyone's name.
That's the one I know.
They say a lot in this movie.
I didn't know. I didn't write it
also,
down.
Also, Kong.
Kong.
I know that. I know King Kong. That's the name
I
know.
Is fucking James? Or is that the tough guy? The hero? Yeah. Man of the movie? It's like
The Adrian Brody later on. Yeah. And the Jeff Bridges later on.
Yeah.
I prefer the Jeff Bridges later on. But it's funny because this film opens with what I feel like is a thinly veiled reflection of reality about how much they don't want a woman around.
There's the quote I wrote down was, I don't want to put a girl in my movie.
Yeah, yeah. It felt like maybe that was, I don't know. I guess I don't know for sure. Felt a little personal.
Women just ruin all guys at fun at sea all together on a boat.
Yeah.
Just semen hanging out.
The semen and women don't mix. As Waylon Smithers says in the Simpsons King Kong parody. So that's a more apropos than I realized. Because I have seen this before, but it's been a minute. Obviously, I've seen many King Kong films.
It's been at least 10 years since I've seen this movie.
It's been sooner for me.
It's been sooner because we saw it on the big screen.
Yeah, we did.
Was it at the Orpheum?
At the Orpheum.
Yeah, I was going to go to that show.
Yeah.
And I didn't.
It was great. You missed it.
I did.
So they go to Skull... You know, it's King Kong. They go to Skull Island. There's a giant King Kong on the island.
Yeah. They go there and there's a people... They make it to the secret island that's not on any maps, except for that special one he had.
Except for that one map.
Except for that one map that the Swedish guy, Norwegian guy made.
Dead guy.
And they're on the boat. They're sailing there. He's filming Faye Ray. He's brought this gutter rat out of... poverty.
Yeah,
because they're like, what woman is gonna be crazy enough to go on this trip?
Someone no one will miss.
And to be fair, that's pretty apt. That's like Because, like, what person, what woman would in 1933 just be like, yeah, I'll go, I'll just hop on this boat with a bunch of strange men to go to Africa. To go to a weird island that nobody's
in. To be fair, I hope there aren't a lot of women that would do it today.
Yeah.
Let's be quite clear.
The boat thing probably just wouldn't happen as much today.
Well, right.
It'd be a plane.
I love the part where she's on the ship boat. She's wearing this flowy dress. She's got those nips popping.
Yeah.
And the nips.
Yeah.
Cold nipples.
Yeah, she's definitely, it's definitely cold on the boat.
I also love the part where there's this sailor that gets to be sweet on her during their, what I imagine to be months and months at sea.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're sailing halfway across the world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's the square-jawed hero type of the movie.
Oh, basically. He's the Adrian Brody slash Jeff Bridges.
Say, I guess I love you.
He's as as bland as a piece of wood. Like,
that's my second favorite line. My first favorite line is when he says something to her. I don't even remember. She says, "Oh right, I forgot you told me that."
Yeah,
yeah.
Like 2 seconds before, wasn't it? Didn't he tell her 2 seconds before?
Or no, we didn't see it.
We didn't see it happen, okay. But it was so fucking obvious that like you wouldn't even ask the question too.
Yeah. Oh, right, I forgot you told me that. Oh, it was an exposition. It was a clear, like her digging for exposition.
Yes, and.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, like, why'd you fucking even bring it up? Yeah, like.
But I forgot. I forgot you told me.
In terms of a screenwriter, like.
They're like, it's a woman. She's fucking stupid.
Oh!
She won't remember.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So, I wrote here on Tyler's point, he got someone no one would miss, romantic. And then apparently this is the moment where we paused.
Oh, yeah.
I feel the need to include this.
Well,
we paused the movie for a minute.
Well, so when Faye Ray is getting kidnapped, I made a joke and I said she got kidnapped by Kiss.
Oh, yeah, because the Islanders decide to sacrifice her, of course.
They got a bunch of fucking makeup and like all that shit. So, we spent like 30 minutes talking about Kiss for some reason.
It felt important at the
time.
Well,
you know, I think we all just don't understand the appeal fully, and we're trying to reach to the bottom of the...
But, you know, the Islanders are taking her to pull the trigger on Kong's love gun.
Yeah.
So
there's a shot, and it's her silhouetted with her arms on the posts, and she's slightly limp, and the doors are closing, and it's just her silhouette, and it looks very much to me like all of these classical crucifixions.
Yeah.
Like,
oh,
looks
yeah.
So much exactly like that. I'm like, there's my childhood. King Kong kidnaps Fay Wray. He grabs her.
Mm-hmm. King becomes useless for the rest
of the
movie.
King Kong has a great entrance. Like, it's a really good beat of the movie where, like, you kind of know Kong's there for a little while, and then it's the big reveal, and it's just all of him in his kind of goofy glory, like, looking...
Honestly, once he shows up, it is nothing but monster action for mostly the rest of the movie.
Yeah, yeah. It's great.
There's like a 5-minute lull between them leaving the island and
setting up the big shoe.
Because Kong fights Stegosaurus, I think. He fights a T-Rex.
Fights a big snake.
Well, and one more? Was there one more big monster?
There was a pterodactyl.
Yeah. Pterodactyl, that's it.
Because I joked about it being Rodan.
Right.
Also, like, so they're going after Kong, like the party of like all the sailors are going after Kong, and like they see the Stegosaurus, and I think I said it like 30 times throughout the movie because it struck me. They just go, "Hey, look at that."
Oh, yeah.
Like, that much enthusiasm. Like, they see a prehistoric beast and say, "Hey, look at that."
Well, you know, it was a lot closer to the time at the point.
You know what? You're right. I can't argue with you. It's impossible to argue with you.
You know, my grandma saw one of those once. Tell me about it.
Everybody takes everything in stride in this movie in general, to be fair. Like, because they're not even, like, incredibly wowed at King Kong. Like,
Which is weird because it's not like it was a ship full of true believers or anything. Yeah. It was just some fucking guys.
Carl Denham's the only one who like actually thinks this is real.
And he gets excited about it. Everybody else is just like, oh, look, it's a giant ape.
Yeah, I guess that's a big ape.
I've seen that on every island I've ever been to.
I've seen bigger.
Like
they say.
The sailors, they don't have a big part, but they're all memorable, and they all look like sailors. Like they look like weird old sailors, which is great. Which is one of the joys of like watching a movie from the 30s, because everybody looks exactly like they should. Because you just get cast based on what you look like, and
like we were saying earlier, the women are cast, and like they're obviously like the most beautiful girls you can find. But then, like even the hero, like the guy who like her love interest is just some fucking dumpy schmo.
Yeah, like
he kind of looked like
he looks like a poor man's action hero a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know.
The director's not a handsome man.
No, it's weird to think like this was a big movie that like they cast like a dude who looks like he's like 45.
Yeah,
and kind of sweaty.
Did he look like Toby Hess to you guys?
The hero?
Yeah.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I can see that.
I can see.
Because I was like, he looks like somebody. That's what I thought the entire time, and I just thought of it.
He's got a good jawline, and that's about it.
Yeah. Yeah, and he does, though. That's what I am thinking about, is his jawline.
That's all I can think about.
That's all I can think about.
Speaking of Jaws, King Kong is just fucking ripping Jaws apart.
Oh, yeah, he does. That's how he kills everyone.
That T-Rex scene is badass.
Kong is a tough dude. It's amazing how much they fit into that, like, middle stretch of just...
It's exciting shit.
And he's like, he's got Faye Ray with him the whole time. Like,
just kind of dragging that poor girl around, shaking her head.
Yeah, she's getting throttled around.
Her head is just, like flopping.
She would be dead.
She's screaming.
Eventually, they make a big deal about his smoke bombs that Denham created.
Oh, yeah, throughout the movie.
They keep talking about it, and one of these sailors have to carry a wooden box on his back through the whole
thing. Maybe fucking use one. I don't
know. And then they finally use one.
A bunch of sailors do die.
Yeah,
we didn't mention those poor sailors at all.
Like two of the party that go after survive.
Yeah.
Out of, like, I don't know, 10 of them?
Kong will protect what's his.
It's true.
Yeah,
don't get on Kong's lawn.
It seems like his favorite method of killing people is he just picks them up and like puts them in his mouth and kind of munches them a little and then throws them down.
And then maybe steps on
them. And maybe steps on them. But he likes to just put people in his mouth. They were really happy they could do that, I think.
Yeah.
Because it's like a full... Because like some
people are... You gotta use it more than
once. Yeah.
Yeah, well, obviously.
Yeah.
Why are you going to build that big of a...
Exactly.
Puppet.
Yeah. Because
there was a big head.
Yeah.
There were people going in the jaws.
Yeah.
I guess maybe that's why it was...
Mm-hmm. But it has to be bigger than a person.
That has to be bigger than a person.
I know, but that's what I meant. Like a puppet. I don't know, a puppet person? Guys.
A puppet master?
I don't know. It's been a long day.
So they bring him back to New York finally, and then, you know...
Well, it's amazing how much he's on screen. Like, I mean, like we've said, like, it's amazing the monster action in general. Mm-hmm. But, like, the amount they use Kong on screen, like, once he's there, he's there. And
yeah.
He is, like, interacting with shit, and it's incredible.
Uh-huh.
And, like, the fact that Willis O'Brien infused him with so much personality, he can carry a movie as a stop-motion creature, whereas, like, he's the best actor in the picture in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Like... He's acting everybody up, you know, because there's so much emotion in
his
movements.
Like, honestly, like the weakest part of the animation is like was when he'd like beat his chest. Like it'd almost be a little too choppy there.
Yeah.
From certain angles. But like other than that, like it's pretty smooth.
It's just incredible like what they could achieve with this movie in terms of, you know, special effects and this is in black and white.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful black and white.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I mean, was this a very big, but I mean, this was a pretty big.
Well, it was an RKO picture. So it wasn't like, that's not top shelf at the time. But I know the people who made it had a huge hit right before it with, they did a version of The Most Dangerous Game.
Okay.
That made a lot of money. And they've used a lot of the same people to do King Kong. because there's a lot of jungle stuff, and yeah. a lot of the actors are the same too. Faye Ray's in it, I'm pretty sure. And
gets around.
And I think it was, it obviously cost a fair amount because stop motion even then wasn't super cheap because
yeah.
it takes a lot of time.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think Willis O'Brien probably put a lot more effort into it, just because like nobody had seen anything in this at that level and that intensity in a movie before.
Mm-hmm.
So I think before that you only had like The Lost World,
yeah,
which had some dinosaurs and stuff
romping around the city.
And
yeah,
but they would have made this like during the Great Depression too.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
That's why I think that's partly why it was such a big hit, because it's an incredible escapist fare. Mm-hmm. Like, there's nothing, and then you know,
movies were at least as an audience member still a fairly affordable.
And then Kong mm-hmm. goes and messes up New York full of rich people. So.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Man, he did.
Getting the rich.
Yeah, he fucking was.
And so they take him to New York. They put him in a show. The big joke that everybody always makes, the joke is like, "What's the show?"
Yeah,
because it's just they're all dressed up like it's an opera, and then Kong yeah. Kong is just hanging out, chained to an X.
Well, and the incredible thing is like they do have like they go into the audience and they're like kind of getting like what you know they're talking about ahead of it. It's like I hear something to do with a gorilla. Like oh, okay,
and
you
the
fucking
one
went.
The one lady's like, "Well, I'm supposed to see his movie." And they're mm-hmm. like, there's no movie.
I don't want to sit too close to the screen.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I don't want to sit too close to the screen. They're like, there is no screen.
And then the newspaper reporters scare Kong with their flashbulbs, and he goes ape shit.
which is a truly, truly, like, super iconic moment.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
perfectly
it's been
done.
Replicated.
He grabs Faye Ray, and then he goes a little bit on a rampage. Climbs.
Much like that video game.
Rampage.
And then the movie.
Rampage.
and he climbs the Empire State Building, and then it's the amazing ending. I mean, we keep saying iconic, but this like whole movie
yeah.
is fucking iconic. I mean,
but
every part of it.
Is.
Every part of it has kind of been used for something else at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, even if you haven't seen it, it probably feels like you've seen it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would still encourage you to watch it.
Easily top 10 movies of the 30s.
Yeah.
Like if not
oh,
top five.
Yeah.
And like in terms of like, it is a cornerstone of the blockbuster like movie. Because
yep.
like, I mean, you wouldn't, without King Kong, there's no, obviously no Godzilla, but there's no Jaws.
Mm-hmm.
Because it
mm-hmm.
hits a lot of the same kind of beats a little bit.
Yep.
And, you know, every other monster movie.
Yeah.
I mean, was this the first monster movie or one of the first?
No, I mean, it was early. I mean, it's obviously one of the first kaiju movies.
Yeah, kaiju
as we know it now.
Well, and I noticed there was this part where at the beginning when I mentioned they're on the ship and the film director's like filming her and directing her and saying, "Oh, okay, put your hand back here and do this and do that." And he says, "Now look over there. You see something horrible. And now scream." And it felt very like, is this the birth of something? You know, like
yeah.
the Scream Queen kind of thing.
Yeah, Faye Ray is definitely
an OG Scream Queen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They figured out later to have them do other things
than just scream.
Aside from scream and flop around.
Because anytime Faye Ray in both of these films,
yeah,
we watch them in the opposite order. I was like,
yes.
Oh wow! Like as soon as she is faced with any opposition, all she does is lay there.
She just
and act frightened.
She just goes limp, you guys.
Yeah.
Just kind of.
There's no fight or flight.
No, there's a third for her.
Well, yeah,
flop.
it's flop. It's flop.
Maybe they won't be able to carry me.
And then they do.
Dead weight.
They
dead
always
weight.
Do. Well, she probably weighed about 20 pounds.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was 1933.
Yeah.
And also she was a movie star, so not much has changed.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So King Kong, I feel, yeah, he's a more human figure. Is that why people tend to side with King Kong?
Well, I mean, you got the, you know, evolution stuff in there where obviously I think people have a lot more emotions towards apes in general.
Because they're very human.
Because they're very human. They have very few human eyes and expressions. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, you know, eventually we'll all live on some sort of planet of the apes.
It's true.
That's what the scriptures have foretold. Who would have thunk when they saw this movie in 1933 that we would still be talking about King Kong and... having just, we just watched a movie with King Kong.
A
couple weeks ago.
The last episode of the, no, two what episodes ago, the, it was the last one I recorded. Two episodes ago on the podcast.
Well, yeah. Like, obviously there's been a lot more Godzilla films than King Kong films. Yeah. So I'm like, it's good that there are, Kong is getting a little bit more attention.
Do we need to do a Kong series next? Is that the...
It would only be like...
two episodes.
Yeah, because it's only King Kong 33, King Kong 76.
Son of Kong.
Then King Kong Lives in 86.
Kong Escapes?
Yeah, if you want. Yeah, Toho. And then you got to do Peter Jackson's incredibly boring.
Actually, never mind.
No, yeah. We were all talking about that pretty much this whole time we were watching it.
Like this would have been an hour.
At one point you're like, yes, and we would be an hour into Peter Jackson's movie when they actually
about 10 minutes into this
hit the island or whatever.
Well, it just takes
when they're in the boat.
When
they're in the boat.
And I love Peter Jackson. I really wish he'd go back to making fun movies like he did in the beginning of his career.
Yeah.
And not epics.
Shout out to Good Taste.
Bad Taste.
Bad Taste. Fix it so I didn't say the wrong thing.
Say it again.
Or leave Bad Taste.
No, say the whole thing.
Shout out to Bad
Taste. Shout out to Bad Taste. Never mind. Just forget it.
I'll do my best.
Leave the error in if it's funny.
Anything. Shout out to Bad Taste. Seamless. They'll never
know. Oh, God. Sounds like a person we know. Anyway, so I guess final thoughts.
I like Big Monkey. I like it. I like Big Monkey. I gave it a 9. And... I mean, there's only a couple little things about it that keep it from being like a perfect 10 to me. But like even those are pretty small. I think it's a very enjoyable film, and I think anybody who was like, oh, I don't know, maybe it didn't age well. Like, shut up, baby dick. Go watch the movie.
I'm gonna give it 10, JB's. I think it's a perfect film. It's legit one of my favorite movies of all time.
It's in your Letterboxd top 4?
Yeah, I don't think there's any... It's almost magical as an experience to watch pretty much any time. There are some stuff that does not age well, but a lot of the rest of it does. And
what do you mean?
At least it wasn't blackface. At least there's no blackface in the movie.
It's true.
I can't be honest. I don't know. I don't think there is any. That there's a lot of people.
At least the main featured extras.
Noble. I can't think of his full name, but his name was Noble. The main chief guy was like the first black movie star and produced his own movies and stuff. So that's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. But I think it's a perfect film. I think it's a movie that like everybody should probably see, and like I think it's a good gateway into like if you think you might not like older films.
Oh yeah.
I think this one is a pretty good starting point because it has a lot, it moves, and it has a lot of
this and Universal horror movies.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's what I was just thinking.
The classic horror is a good way to start. Because it gives you a lot of fun stuff to look at all the time.
Mm-hmm. That's how I got in.
And honestly, I think a lot of these movies we're going to talk about are good gateways into old films.
Yeah, as we...
especially if you're a science fiction or horror fan.
As we move on to like the more of the 50s horror that is in the later ones, I think there's a lot of fun stuff that people would probably glance over pretty easily. Yeah.
Those might be a little bit more of an acquired taste, but...
Well, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I haven't given my thoughts. My thoughts are... I give it 8 Jamies. I like it a lot, but it is you know, sometimes things pull me out of it, and Fairy pulls me a little out of it. It's and her head flopping around, etc.
I mean, that's a whole missing Jamie for me, pretty much, is that she doesn't do anything.
And that's okay. You know, it is what it is. I think it's great. I think it's a huge achievement. I think everything Roy said and Tyler said still holds true about it. I just sometimes think every once in a while I have a harder time connecting to the older stuff. But as I kind of mentioned before, but I still love it. Oh, I guess I have to end. So, now this is my first time. Thank you all for being so understanding of my incompetence. But do we have anything? Tyler, do you have anything you want to talk about? We got a lot of stuff coming up.
Yeah, you're right. Shit. So, what day is it when this comes out? Friday? Tomorrow, we're playing at Kansas City Film Festival, a movie we mentioned earlier. Death and Lavender. If you want to go to illuminationcinema.com, there's a whole page of screenings that are happening. I genuinely can't. I'm pulling it up right now. I might as well not, but because there's so many of them that I kind of can't keep track. Also, Fritz doesn't tell me all of them sometimes.
No.
Let's see here.
I don't believe it.
Give me a minute, folks.
Like Beetlejuice.
It's all so yeah. Death and Lavender is also playing at the Red Dirt Film Festival. Bare Bones International Ooh. Film Festival in Muskogee. The other one was in Stillwater. I think there are a couple more that Fritz told me about that I haven't put on the website yet. So yeah, it's around. Go see it. Hole in the Ground is available to watch online.
And you should watch it. It's not very long.
And at least one more podcast this month. It's going to be three. It's going to be three this month.
Three?
We don't have Say goodbye.
All right. Goodbye. I'm Gina. I guess I should have... Hold on, hold on. I'm Gina. What do you want me to do?
I love this. And that's where it ends.
I'm Gina.
She'll have it figured out next time.
Maybe.
I'm Gina.
I'm Gina.
'Listening to the Illumination Cinema Movie Podcast. If you enjoyed the show, be sure to leave a review and subscribe on iTunes or Google Play. For updates on this show and their other projects, get your parents' permission to go to illuminationcinema.com.
Gotten the right to vote 13 years earlier.
Mm-hmm.
So
big mistake.
I did.
Tyler's like, it's gone downhill since.